we want people to understand that, you know, the feeling we hope they walk away with is, you know, that they're comforted, that they're supported, you know, they feel, you know, embraced, and they feel like they can make it.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I'm here with Kathy Jacobs. Kathy, how are we doing this morning?
Doing fantastic, Ben. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to have you. You're the co-owner at Entrusted Care. You're an entrepreneur. You started another business, Boost for Business, an IT company. And I want to learn a lot about, you know, your struggles and your successes, because to my understanding, you're also a mother with, three little ones? Or
not little anymore. They're three kids, 20, 18, and 17.
Okay, so they're teenage and above now, but you started your businesses while taking care of them. So a lot of our listeners, they might be mothers, fathers, they might be a single mom, and your story and your entrepreneurship is something they really might relate to. So I want to get started with Entrusted Care, because I know that's your focus. Yes. What do you guys do at Entrusted Care? What services do you provide?
Well, we help families that have a loved one who might be struggling with a medical crisis or some functional decline as they're aging, or perhaps they have a progressive disease that's made it really difficult to care for them at home. So really, any family who's struggling with some of these aging life issues, we come in and we help them with home safety, home care, any type of intervention, if there's a crisis at the hospital or even at a skilled nursing facility. You know, we make sure that if they are at home, they're engaged in their community or engaged in their environment. We can help people with the financial planning of, you know, paying for care. So, you know, we really, and we also help people make sure that their legal documents are in order, because that's super important for families when they're looking at changes in health conditions of an aging loved one. So we really do everything there is to support people in being able to age well and thrive.
Thank you for providing that support. It's definitely got to be a labor of love, because I'm imagining being someone like you, three kids, busy, and then suddenly, you know, your father, your mother, your grandparents need more care. It's a lot to take on. So you guys come in and you help with organization, but more than anything, you help with taking care of that individual and meeting their needs. What got you into that? I mean, obviously you must be an empathetic person or a very compassionate person to be in the field. Have you worked in, you know, the care, adult care, aging life care field your whole career, or why'd you start this business?
Well, so you had just said something, you know, imagine that you are someone who's raising kids and you have a career, and then all of a sudden, you know, your parent is sick. Yeah. Or your parent has a crisis. My sister-in-law, Gina, is my business partner. So she's the co-owner of Entrusted Care. And she is a social worker by education and trade. And her experience has been in hospitals and nursing homes, as well as social services. So she has an unbelievable wealth of knowledge about the system and how things work. And she and my brother actually had my mom living with her for the last 3 years of her life. And in the last 9 months of her life, she really needed a lot of support. So yeah. I actually left my full-time job, and I was supporting her, and she was living at their home. So even with Gina's expertise and the time that I made available, it was a huge struggle and it was very difficult. And after she passed, Gina and I talked about, you know, this exists out in the community. There are so many families going through this and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They're overwhelmed. And that's how we decided to start the company. So my background, I started in human services, but much of my career has been in business. And it was actually a real blessing because Gina had always thought about doing something like this, but she was scared to have her own business because she felt like she didn't really know what to do or how to be successful at that. So we really balanced each other well. And I loved getting back into the human services world. It's the most satisfying, you know, work that I've done in my career. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's got to be a struggle, but very satisfying, very fulfilling. And I'm wondering, because a lot of people, I've been through situations where I wish I asked for help to care for a loved one. And I'm wondering, you know, is there a tipping point where someone should be asking for help? Is there, you know, is there a point in you know, someone's life that they absolutely need care? Like, at what point should we call you? Should we call you even if we don't know? Like, if I'm asking this question, the answer's probably yes, at least give you a call, right? Like, what does that look like?
So it looks different at whatever stage of illness you're at. So if you find out that one of your parents has just been diagnosed with some form of dementia, call me. You don't need my help yet with the care piece, but what you need to know is what the path should look like, you know, what you need to do financially to prepare for what those care needs are going to cost, what you need to do with on the legal side with the documentation, transfer of titles on assets, you know, all these things to prepare so that all that you've worked for, the goals that you have for how you want your life to be, none of that has to change. You know, and you can start from the beginning supporting your way of wanting your care to be. But unfortunately, people don't always call us right when they first get their diagnoses. But we absolutely can be helpful then. But as soon as it starts to be a bit of a challenge, if you're caring for the person at home, we can come in and we can help you with scheduling home care, kind of coordinating the multiple providers that you end up having when you have a disease like that, making sure that, you know, there's some interpretation of the medical piece to all folks in the family who are often scattered across the country. So we can really help be a point person and make sure that everyone feels like they're contributing and they're informed about what's happening.
I love that. It really gives you peace of mind knowing that someone can be there to help inform you, walk you along. You can be proactive, even if it's not at a stage where you or your loved one needs a lot of care. I'm wondering, we save it for the end, but I want to shout it out now. How do people get in touch with you, whether it's a website, email? If this describes me and my life, how would I call you, or what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, you certainly can go to our website. You can use the contact form there. Our site is entrustedcareny.com. We are not a chain. It's an individual business, but there happens to be an Entrusted Care in Florida. So we had to add the NY. Yeah. So that's an easy way. Social media, you can always message us through there. Or I can leave my phone number with you and it can get published. I'm happy to do that as well.
Great. Cool. I'll put information in the show notes as well, so you can click the link below, guys. And yeah, so what got you started with entrepreneurship and business ownership? You mentioned how your sister, she was a social worker and she really wanted to put her skill set to work. And one of your great skill sets was the business end. Have you always been business minded? I know you've started a couple companies. Where does that come from?
You know, Ben, I wish I knew where it came from, because when I went to college, I guess a step back, I grew up on a small farm just outside of Rochester. And I don't know how much you know about farmers, but farmers are absolutely like all against the big guy, all, you know, never very independent. Right. You know, so you grow up with that mindset that kind of like business is bad. And so I went to college for psychology and sociology. I never took a single business class, but then I was moving down to New York City after my, I got my degree at Geneseo, and I knew I couldn't survive on a job that would employ someone like that. So I ended up going into a management training program with the Bank of New York, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I stayed in banking for 15 years. So I had a really strong background in business. I did a lot of business lending. So I was really familiar with small business structure, executive reporting, all those kinds of things. And after I had my third child, I needed to be more flexible. So I started my own business, the first one back in 2004. So it's been many, many years that I have been doing my own entrepreneurial ventures. And I love it. I love everything about being able to control start to finish, being able to make it work with my life. There's just nothing better, really.
I love that. And you talk about farmers and some of their beliefs. One thing I believe is farmers and people raised on the farm, they're the hardest workers. And they're proactive and they know how to stay attention to detail. Yep. So I could see how that skill set would translate into business. And being a self-starter, an entrepreneur, it does give you that freedom, especially if you're raising kids, you've got a lot going on. Tell us a little bit about that experience. Like, let's say, I always encourage people to have a full-time job and have a side gig if they want to start an entrepreneurial endeavor. But if I'm in a scenario where I don't need to work full-time or can't work full-time and want to start something small, you know, you might have great information on how that experience was kind of being your own boss, but raising a family at the same time. Any bumps in the road doing that?
Oh, there were many bumps along the way. Certainly before that, those were the days before Zoom. So you didn't have to worry so much about, you know, dogs and kids running through your background or, you know, screaming when you're trying to participate in a meeting, but it still had challenges. There's no question. I think the thing that is really rewarding is when you think about what you're teaching your kids. You know, you're teaching your kids that you can have multiple priorities, that sometimes business does have to come first. You know, there are times when they needed to learn to play quietly while I had something I had to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think people should be proud when they can show kids that they can be great parents and very dedicated, but also, you know, have something that they're dedicating themselves to through business, through their career. I think that's an important lesson for kids to know, that just to see the hard work and the sacrifices that you make. But as far as bumps in the road, you know, flexibility, I think mental flexibility is the biggest thing when you're an entrepreneur. You have to accept that some days it's going to be fantastic and other days it's just going to be okay. And both of those situations are fine and you're going to have them. So you just kind of have to look ahead and keep that big picture perspective.
I love that. I want to dive deeper because I like that so much. Like, I want to talk about a struggle, like a challenge, a moment where you're just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then I also want to talk about a moment where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy I made this decision. So wherever we want to start, but can you give us an example of like a entrepreneurial struggle that you almost wanted to just like drop the laptop, walk out and never do it again? But then I also want an example of a moment that really made it all worthwhile.
Sure. So I think probably the first struggle I had with my first business was I had one client who was really kind of my bread and butter, my big client. And every time they would continue to ask me to do more support, I would need to ask for more money. And, you know, they, I think sometimes when people are hiring someone who's very small, a small business, they sometimes try to take advantage. They think because you have this flexibility that maybe you should value yourself less. And that's hard because then you have to justify why you deserve the same, you know, market rate that anyone else is getting. It doesn't matter if you're working from your kitchen desk or, you know, your car or whatever the case may be, your work product is still the same, you know, great value that anybody else would be offering. So, you know, having to justify and be able to present in a way that showed, you know, the value for the dollars that people were paying, I think that was probably one of the hardest things, because even when you work in business and you negotiate deals, it's never personal. When it becomes personal and it's your own work and you want to have that confidence and you want to feel like I deserve this pay, sometimes it's hard to translate that into a negotiation with a client.
Yeah.
So that was definitely, I think that was one of my hardest struggles early on. And now I feel it's something I help Gina with, because being a social worker, she's never had to assign, you know, to monetize the value she provides to clients.
Right. But, she just provides value.
She just keeps giving. And I have to tell her, you can't give away the store. But, you know, so that's a hard lesson, I think, for people. And absolutely the joy. And I know that if Gina was speaking with you, she'd say the same thing. In this job particularly, the gratitude and just the true impact that you see yourself having with people. And it doesn't have to be a job like ours. It can really be anything. If you are a marketing person and you see a campaign work for someone and their, you know, their business grows by 10, 15, 20%, you know, anytime your impact as a small business is reflected in that of your client's success, that's where it's all at for me.
Yeah, it's great to see others succeed. It's one thing I believe is, if you succeed and you make it to the top, but you don't bring anyone up there with you, you maybe didn't succeed at all, you know? So you're in the business of helping people, which is great. And a lot of great business owners here in Western New York, that's exactly what they do. They help other people succeed, and that allows them to succeed as well. So I love that. I like what you said about the fact it's hard to figure out, you know, how to charge because you're so valuable and you're going to over deliver. And I, thank God, I haven't had a single client that's really like pissed me off or been an issue. The issue personally is within myself, where I like to over deliver and I like to just give, but I need to properly monetize the fact that I am providing more than initially agreed upon. That's got to be one of the biggest struggles for any small business owner, right?
I agree. But I think that every business owner has to come to grips in their own mind about when that's okay and when it's not, because that's one of the things I love. If we run into a client and they really need us and they cannot pay us, we own the company. We can still help them if we want to. No one's telling us that we can't help them. We can make that decision. And that's a really powerful thing. And I think every business owner has that option. You know, when you see someone who really needs your help and is just getting started, you know that extra effort's going to go a long way with them. And there's nothing wrong if you feel good about it in giving that extra. I think that's my opinion.
Yeah, it's again, you said you were raised on a farm. I just like the analogy of putting in a little extra work on your farm. Your crops are going to grow better. They're going to be healthier. So, what kind of farm? I shouldn't just assume farms have crops. What kind of farm were you raised on?
We did. We had beef cattle and cash crops.
Great.
So, yeah, it's a great way to grow up. You know, absolutely. My love of nature and the physical world, my dad definitely gave me that growing up on the farm.
I love it. I need someone like you to teach me, because I'm that hippy dippy type that wants to live on a farm or have a commune or have like a agricultural share of some sorts, but I don't actually have the skill set to do it. But in theory, if I did, I could do some marketing promotion, and then someone like you and others could teach us the skill set, because anyone can learn. I wasn't raised on a farm, though. I was raised in a typical suburban house in Penfield. So
you can still want it. That's okay.
I do. I do. And I'm wondering, you know, you said, you know, you were raised right outside of Rochester, New York. I love talking about Rochester. I'm born and raised here. I like talking about the whole region because there's so much to do just in upstate and western New York. Where can we find you when you're not working, taking care of your family? Like, what do you do for fun around here? Any hobbies, any places you love to do? We love to go.
Well, so before 2020, when we would go, my family loves to be outdoors. So we would take trips. We love to ride ATVs. So we would go to places where you could do that. In the winter, we snowmobile. So a lot of times we're headed to wherever the snow might be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're definitely an outdoor family. And even just outdoors here, we have dogs. And so, you know, hiking with them has definitely been a big part of our lives too.
Awesome interests and hobbies for COVID, because it all involves being outside, getting fresh air, being active. Because like you said, 2020 has been wild. I imagine in your business, a lot of your care is coming in and, you know, dealing with people in person who might be high risk. So without every single detail, because I know COVID protocols, the precautions are great. The fact that there's so much, but I don't want to get into every little detail because I'm sure it's crazy. But how has COVID really shook your business up and altered the way you do business? Can you still come and see people in person, or how does that work?
We can. I would say that for probably the first 6 months after lockdown last March, people were very hesitant. So a lot of our work was done over the phone, by computer. Yeah. Typically with whoever, the adult child or other person who's caring for the person who's sick. But honestly, since probably at the end of last summer, people finally realized that, you know, they couldn't outwait COVID. So, you know, the calls started coming back in and people were ready to talk. And Gene and I are very careful. We were getting tested, using all the proper precautions, and, you know, just being very safe about it. And I think that that made people feel comfortable. And really, a lot of times people are in just such dire need that they can't wait. So you just have to do it.
Yeah. It's, if you can't wait, you just have to do it. And it does, again, I hope people have peace of mind to hear that you guys are trained to handle a lot of tasks virtually. You can handle questions over the phone. So even if you're not in a position where you need somebody to come in, or you're not comfortable to have someone come in, it sounds like you guys can kind of have a plan for once, you know, whether it's vaccinations or you'll have a plan. You can be proactive for when the care's truly needed in person.
Absolutely. There's a great deal. And after we have our initial consultation or assessment with a client, a lot of what we do is, you know, outside of the house and just coordinating all of those other pieces. So absolutely. That didn't stop.
Good, good. Yeah. And so I understand, you know, how this will help me, but I'm curious about how a consultation goes or what the process looks like. Obviously, without naming the client, you know, if you want to talk us through an example or two about, you know, what it's like to be a client of yours and the kind of care you're providing.
Sure, absolutely. So a very typical case, husband and wife are living in their house. One of them has dementia. I would say that the call usually comes to us after the person's been at home with the diagnosis for 7 to 10 years. So the spouse has been caring for them, but now they're starting, you know, to wander. They're starting to, you know, be agitated. They're, you know, things are starting to happen and it's very difficult to keep them safe at home. And we'll typically get the call. So in that case, because dementia is not going to get better, it's only a, you know, it's a progressive disease. Right. That typically is going to require a placement. You know, so then we go through with the family, we do the financial assessment, we look at whether or not we need to apply for Medicaid, or how we use the assets, or protect them. So we go through all of that and we get to know the family a little bit so that we know what nursing home, if we can get them in, would be the best fit for them. And I say that because some nursing homes will specialize in people who are starting to have, you know, certain symptoms, maybe some aggressive behavior or things like that with dementia. And so there are nursing homes that have special units dedicated to those types of patients. So we'll get them into that place versus another one where they will struggle and it will be difficult for them. So, you know, knowing what the best fit is so much more important than people understand. So, you know, that would be a typical client. We've had several people like that where we're coming in, it's pretty short term. We get to know them, find them a placement, you know, and then we keep up with them for several months to see how they're doing, making sure the transition goes okay. And then another family could call us because their loved one is in the hospital. They're going to be discharged tomorrow. They can't take them home. That's not safe. And so then we get involved with working with the hospital to make sure that it really is a safe discharge and see if we can get some additional covered time with the insurance so that we can prepare the home, prepare them with home caregivers, things like that. So that's another very typical situation. And then we have people who, you know, we have clients where they might have an adult child who either has a disability or a mental health issue, and maybe they don't take their meds. And so we have to help them with med compliance. You know, so it really is so different for different families. But the common thread is just that someone's overwhelmed with a situation and they need to know how to connect to resources and they need someone to take the lead, at least temporarily, because they're just done. You know, they cannot take on any more responsibility.
Yeah. And any one of those issues, I could see myself very quickly becoming overwhelmed and they can pile up real quickly, it sounds like. So it's great to know you guys have skill sets in all these areas. So I can feel a little less overwhelmed, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I want to get real lighthearted and just fun and move to the rapid fire round where just simple either or fill in the blank questions, get to know Kathy a little bit better.
Okay.
Early in the morning, you drinking coffee or tea?
Neither. Water. Neither. I'm drinking.
Water. What about end of the day? Do you have a drink or water at night as well?
Water all day for me.
All day, all night water. I love it.
Yeah, no caffeine.
You're like me. I go to restaurants. I always order water. And I know the waitress often is banking on like a $40 drink bill. So I always disappoint them.
I'm wondering. Well, though.
Same. At the end of the day. Yeah. And I'm wondering, do you have any favorite local restaurants, any eats that you like, any favorite places to go to?
Well, I have to say that we stay pretty local right now. So Canandaigua has some fantastic, that's where I live, and Canandaigua has fantastic options. Certainly Nolan's is a favorite, or we might go to, you know, Farmington to Otto Tomatoes, or we definitely love the the nice Italian places. So that's usually a favorite for us.
Lots of great Italian, lots of great food, lots of great wine for wine drinkers. Yeah, mm-hmm. awesome place to be around. What about, we'll do favorite season of the year. Is winter your favorite? I know you do a lot of winter hobbies, so.
Yeah, I mean, I really love all the seasons, but fall is definitely my favorite.
Fall's the favorite. Why is that? Is it the prettiness or?
Oh, the colors, the smells. I mean, really going back to my farm days when, you know, they'd have a fresh cut field, you know, when the sun was shining, you could smell that. I guess it just takes me home, but yeah, just the smell, the feel, the temps. I love it. Fall's my absolute favorite.
Sensory overload and yes. it's all great feelings. Yeah. We'll do lastly, iOS or Android, the most polarizing one of them all.
Android.
Yeah. Android.
Cool. Faithful to Android.
Any questions, big or small, that I should have asked you? Anything we missed out on that's new and exciting? Any last words that I would have, maybe a question I would have asked you if I had known a little bit more about you or your business?
You know, Ben, I think it's just, you know, we want people to understand that, you know, the feeling we hope they walk away with is, you know, that they're comforted, that they're supported, you know, they feel, you know, embraced, and they feel like they can make it, you know, now that they've had a little bit of support. That's definitely important to us. And I think the thing that Gene and I definitely focus on that people should know about is that we very actively support aging in place. We know a lot of people enjoy that lifestyle and that's what they want. So Gene and I actually are a small group of founders for the Rochester Finger Lakes Aging in Place Council, which is a local chapter of the National Aging in Place Council. So it's something near and dear to our hearts and we take it pretty seriously.
Yeah. Thank you for your service and doing that for the community.
Yeah.
I love talking to you. I appreciate you coming on the show. Again, let's shout out, what's the best way to be in touch and make a connection online, give you a call, go to the website. Let's shout out best ways to be in touch with Kathy.
Well, definitely you can go to the website. We have a contact page there. It's entrustedcareny.com. You can give me a call. My number is 585-721-9740 or email me. It's Kathy with a K at entrustedcareny.com.
Love it. I hope you get emails. I hope you get phone calls, hits to your website. At the end of the day, pretty much 95% of, I have listeners that are in like Bangladesh and random places. I don't know where they're coming from, but pretty much all my listeners are from the region. So you won't be getting calls from Austin, Texas or Bangladesh. I hope not.
We're always happy to talk to people.
Good to hear it. Kathy, again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.